This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, the most merciful, the most perfect, the most majestic, the most high. We seek His guidance, we seek His assistance, we seek refuge in Him from the evil within ourselves and from the consequences of our poor choices. Whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whoever Allah has decreed will be led astray, none can guide. We bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His beloved last and final messenger, our beloved messenger. We beg Allah to shower him with peace and mercy and blessings and his family and his companions and all those who follow his tradition until the end of time. Before we begin our topic for today, let us remember to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us remind one another that Allah is aware of all of our thoughts, statements and actions at all times. And that we should not let the angel of death come and meet us except that we are in a state of submitting to that which is pleasing to Allah. Of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, and they are so plentiful, is the blessing of the tongue. The blessing of being able to speak. But even greater and more general than that is the blessing of being able to communicate. For communication is wider than just using the tongue alone. Which is why in the beginning of one of the most beloved chapters of Qur'an, to many of us, Surah Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. We love hearing this surah recited. At the beginning of this chapter of the Qur'an, Allah says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ He created the human being, He created you and I. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ Allah taught the human being bayan, the ability to express oneself, the ability to communicate. That's how we interact with one another, through this process of communication. And a big part of that is our tongue. The companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal, in authentic hadith, he says that he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were on a journey. And in the morning time, this companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked him a very sincere and very important question. He asked the Messenger of Allah, he said, فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَخْبِرْنِي بِعَمَلٍ يُدْخِلُنِي الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَاعِدُنِي مِنَ النَّارِ O Messenger of Allah, could you tell me about something that will grant me entrance into Jannah and push me further away from the hellfire? Such a simple but profound question. The Prophet ﷺ told him, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ You've asked about something so serious, so important. The Prophet ﷺ then continued to instruct Mu'adh about what we know as the five pillars of Islam. To worship none but Allah exclusively, to not associate any partners with Him, to establish the salah, to fast, to do the zakat, perform hajj. These obligatory acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to fulfill. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then wanted to summarize the most important issues for him. He told him, I will tell you about Ra'as al-Amr. I'll tell you about the summary, the most important of all affairs. What is it? Al-Islam. Your submission to Allah. Oh Allah, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do it. That's Islam. وَعَمُودُهُ الصَّلَاةِ And the pillar or the spinal cord or that which holds up your Islam is your salah, your connection with Allah. وَذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ And the most prominent aspect is the aspect of jihad. To struggle and to sacrifice. And then the Prophet ﷺ told him, Shall I not inform you of a way that you would be able to achieve all of this? We talked about some big things here. Five pillars of Islam and salah and jihad, big stuff. These are not easy tasks. Shall I not give you a practical tip so you can achieve all of this? Mu'adh said, Yes, please, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ أخذ بلسانه وقال كف عليك هذا He grabbed his tongue and he said, Hold this back. Restrain this. You get control over this, you'll be able to do all of those things. That's simple, yet profound guidance from the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah bless us to follow the guidance of our beloved Messenger. You know, the companion Ibn Mas'ud, he said something very interesting. You know, in his lifetime of experiences and knowledge and research, he says, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ أَجْدَرُ بِطُولِ حَبْسٍ مِنَ اللِّسَانِ In all my years, I haven't found of anything more worthy of a long-term imprisonment than the tongue. It should be imprisoned, it should be held back. That's the asl, that's how it should be. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to have two jaws, two sets of teeth and two lips and lots of muscles. To hold back that one tongue. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the greatest man that the sun ever rose upon after the prophets and messengers, he used to grab his own tongue and he would say, "Ah, هَذَا أَوْرَدَنِي الْمَوَارِدِ He used to say, this is what got me into so much trouble. And that's Abu Bakr speaking. How much trouble has this tongue got me into? As we are coming close to the month of Ramadan and we talk about discipline and restraint and improving ourselves and growing, one of the aspects that is often discussed is controlling the tongue, controlling our speech. And that's very important, but it's a huge topic. There are so many different aspects and facets to controlling our tongue and our speech and what we say. It's very important. And the topic is much bigger than the amount of time that we have together today, unfortunately. I'm sure you don't like to stay for a very long Jumu'ah. But we won't do that to you. But let us just focus on one aspect of communication. And that is, you know, oftentimes when we think about protecting the tongue, we think about holding back from saying curse words, or insulting, or backbiting, mocking. All of that is valid. All of that is very important that we hold ourselves back from that. And I'm sure we've all heard that reminder before and we should hear it more often as well. We all need it. But there is an aspect of communication that does not involve cursing. And it does not involve saying any bad words. And it does not involve insulting anyone. And it does not involve backbiting. None of that. It involves being sensitive to the one you are speaking to. Having what they refer to in the topic of emotional intelligence as empathy. Putting yourself in that person's shoes. Choosing your words carefully. Choosing the best possible words. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا Say the best of words. You know, Ibn Abbas and Ibn Kathir, he says, if Fir'aun said to me a nice statement of praise, I would say it back to him. Say Allah, it doesn't command us to just say good. Say the best. حُسْنًا The most beautiful of words. Adapting our communication and our method of saying what we want to say or getting the message across so that it is appropriate for the listener. Because that's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an wants us to be very cautious and careful about how we use this blessing. This blessing of speech and of communication. ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. Allah says, not a single sound or statement that you make will go unrecorded. There is someone there recording it. There is someone there recording it. You know, in the famous story in the seerah, when there was a rumor being spread about the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, many people fell into the trap of just spreading that rumor. Even though they were not the origins of that rumor, or they may not have been confirming it, but they were just sharing what they heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed powerful verses in Surah An-Nur. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You belittle this. Just hearing something and passing it on. No big deal. I didn't say anything wrong. No big deal. What's the problem? But Allah says, with Allah it is great. It is serious. Oftentimes it's not that we say something bad or rude, but it is in the manner of which we say it. As one of my teachers used to say, it's not about what you say, it's how you say it. And that can hurt people. And if someone is hurt and they go back and they complain to Allah, what's going to happen to you and I on the Day of Judgment? How are we going to respond to that complaint that has been recorded in our record? You know, we come from particular cultural backgrounds or specific experiences in life that have shaped how we joke, for example, or the things that we find funny, or the things that are very normal for us to talk about or to ask people about. But we live in a society where people come from a variety of different cultures, from a wide array of different life experiences. Everybody is coming here with their own story. And so we shouldn't communicate with people thinking they will perceive things exactly as we do, but be sensitive to them. That's how the Prophet ﷺ communicated. First of all, he was welcoming. He used to smile at people. Smiling is one of the forms of charity. كَانَ بَشُوشًا. Very rarely he would be seen as angry. Those times are specific times, we can count them on our hands and fingers. Those times when anger was seen. Otherwise, he had a pleasant demeanor and he welcomed people with a smile. He used to give his attention to people. The Prophet ﷺ, if somebody was communicating with him, he would turn towards them. Face them. He never belittled anyone. A young girl would come and grab him by his hand and take him to the furthest side of Medina. And he wouldn't know what it is exactly that she wants to show him. But he would follow. And it might be something so trivial, but he gave her that time. And some may say, you are a prophet, you are a messenger, you receive revelation, you're a teacher, you are leader of the state, of this community, you have delegations to meet with, you have wives and children, you have companions, so much work to do, you have time to go follow a little girl? Yes, he made time. He gave people his attention. Especially when we live in a day and age where, you know, we call it FaceTime, but really it's our own face. Quite an ironic choice of words, wouldn't you say? Where our human interaction has become so few and far between, and when it does happen, it is of such poor quality. But that's not how the Prophet ﷺ was. He spent time with people. He recognized what was special about them, and he catered his behavior according to that. He used to stand in front of the companion and say, Abu Bakr, أَرْحَمُ أُمَّتِي بِأُمَّتِي أَبُو بَكَرْ. The most merciful of my ummah is Abu Bakr. The most intense of the laws of Allah is Umar. The most knowledgeable of inheritance is Ali. The most knowledgeable of halal and haram is Mu'adh. The one most similar to Isa is Abu Dharr. How did he know these characteristics and these dimensions of people's personality? Because he gave people time and attention. And he mentioned nice words of praise about them. I'll give you some examples of things that we've mentioned before. Nothing new. We've all heard this before in previous khutbahs. How many times has someone new to Islam come to the masjid, and because of the way they were spoken to or the way that they were dealt with, they may never have come back to that masjid again? You think Allah's not going to ask you about that on the Day of Judgment? And perhaps they might have left Islam altogether. May Allah protect us all and grant us steadfastness and guidance. But sometimes it's that behavior, it's that demeanor. Certain people have a difficult time getting married, for example. Allah knows what issues they are going through, what challenges they are dealing with. And we come to them, oh, aren't you married? We make them feel bad about it. But maybe they're not giving you their whole life story. These are real complaints. This isn't made up hypothetical situations. These are examples of real life things that have happened in our community here. Or we speak to someone, or we may say something that we think is a joke. No big deal. But it can cause hurt to that person. We have to choose our words carefully. We have to deal with people in a way that makes them feel comfortable. The Prophet ﷺ sat with Abu Bakr. A portion of his leg was exposed. Umar came in. He stayed in the same manner. But when Uthman entered, he sat up and pulled his clothes down. Aisha was perplexed. She said, why did you not change your position when Abu Bakr and Umar came, but when Uthman came, you changed? He said, أَنَا أَسْتَحْيِ مِنْ رَجُلٍ تَسْتَحْيِ مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Should I not have haya from a man that malaika have haya from him? Meaning this is something specific to his personality. Let me adjust my position so he will be comfortable in my presence. The Prophet ﷺ always wanted those around him and with him to be comfortable, so that they can be themselves and so that there can be good quality human interaction, positive communication. You know, the poet, the wise poet said, الحلم زين والسكوت سلامة فإذا نطقت فلا تكن مهدارا ما إن ندمت على السكوت بمرة ولقد ندمت على الكلام مرارا وكم من كلمة أبكت صاحبها دهرا طويلا. This wise poet said, forbearance is beautiful, and remaining silent is safety. So when you do say something, don't be destructive with what you say. How many times I have never regretted staying quiet, but how many times I spoke up and then regretted it. And how many words, could be just a word or a few, made the one who uttered them or the one who heard them cry for many, many years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our tongues, grant us the character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise our rank and status. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un, wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa li sa'iri al-muslimina min kulli dhanbin, fastaghfiruh, innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي، وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We are talking about protecting our tongues, protecting our speech, choosing the best possible words, also choosing the best possible methods of communication. Interacting with people in a way that makes them feel comfortable and in a way that will not hurt them or cause them any pain. And this may seem like a bit difficult to achieve. Somebody might hear this and say, well, you know, I'm only a human being. What do you want me to do? I'm supposed to learn about everyone's little inner workings and secrets? That's too much. Or do you want me to just be a hermit and not talk to anybody so I don't hurt anyone's feelings? No, neither this nor that. But rather balance. Of the ways of attaining good communication, two things that you can apply starting today. You know, in a presentation that was given here in this masjid many years ago about communication, there was a principle that was given, which is that the point is not as important, or rather the person is more important than the point. That how many times we have a message that we're trying to get across, or a point that you're trying to make, but in the process of pushing it forward so aggressively, you end up ruining that relationship. How many marriages have come to an end? How many projects have seen failure? How much time and wealth and energy has gone to waste because of our poor communication? Of our poor choice of words, of our poor choices of how to get our message across. And in the process, we lost that person. We lost that relationship. We lost trust. What kind of a community will we be if there is not trust between us, if there is not love and good communication? That's not a community. And we're trying to build a solid community here. So remember that principle, that the person is always more important than the point. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, I promise a beautiful house in Jannah for the one who leaves arguing even if they are right. But I'm right. I know you're right. But it's okay. A house in Jannah is worth more than you being right. Your relationship with this person is worth more than you being right. That's number one. And number two, they say, it is not possible for anyone to attain good communication and good people skills except if they spend more time listening than they do speaking. It's very simple. The more time you spend listening to someone, the more opportunities you have to learn about them and what matters to them and what they are struggling with, and then you can cater your speech. And you can't do any of these things without, number one, having genuine care and concern. The Prophet ﷺ was with the believers, Ra'ufur Rahim, very merciful and gentle. He was not aggressive or harsh. But you have to be merciful and gentle and listen more than you speak. And finally, in conclusion, everything that we have said here today, and all the etiquettes and adab and manners of good communication do not only apply to communication that takes place in person, face to face. No. Let not our imagination restrict this discussion to only that. But any means of communication, whether it is over the phone or over text, or especially nowadays as we are dealing with this thing called social media, all the adab of communication apply to social media as well. Oftentimes a person just feels they're typing something, they're not actually communicating with a real person, so I can just say something, I can just say whatever's on my mind, I can be hurtful, I don't care what anybody thinks, this is my opinion, I'm entitled to my opinion. No. That's not what Islam says. You are not entitled to your opinion. You are entitled to your opinion, and you are entitled to express your opinion only when it is good and beneficial and positive. If it's not, you are entitled to... That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, say something good or stay quiet. Not too many options. Nothing to be confused about. Say something beneficial. Contribute in a positive way, or just stay quiet. Then there won't be any room for regret. Finally, in conclusion, let us remember that this tongue and this ability to express ourselves and communicate is a huge blessing of Allah. There is so much potential for good. You can make someone feel so good with the tiniest and most gentle of words. So let us use this blessing in a way that is pleasing to Allah, and not in a way that will earn us the anger of Allah, or that will earn us a loss of relationships and a loss of good, strong community bonds between us. Before we close, we do have our usual Family Friday night program tonight at 8 p.m. I will be honored to join you all. We're talking about what we can do to attain the love of Allah for ourselves. And this Sunday there is a zakah workshop with Sheikh Mustafa Umar to cover the importance of zakah, all your FAQs about zakah and how to pay it, how to distribute it, etc. will be discussed this Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. here at the masjid. Everyone is encouraged to attend and benefit from these programs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity and success. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. We ask Allah for the best of this life, the best of the hereafter, and to protect us from the torment of the hellfire. رَبَّنَا أَتِي نُفُوسَنَا تَقْوَاهَا وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم. Remember Allah, He will make mention of you. واشكروه على نعمه وآلائه يزدكم. Be grateful to Allah, He will increase you. ولذكر الله أكبر. The remembrance of Allah is the greatest. والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Allah is fully aware of what we do. وأقم الصلاة.